let's just take a minute and let's pray. Father, we have come here today and set this time apart as holy for you. And as we've walked in this building, we've attempted the best we can to be able to share your love and to just to enjoy the great gift of your family that you've given us. And as we settled our hearts to be still before you and to bow down in our hearts and worship you, we've sought to do what you established this time for, to be able to just drop the things that are pressing in our lives, the things that we have to do and the things that we want to do, and just put our agendas aside and look up and appreciate the great love that you have shown us. To be overwhelmed by your love that was demonstrated when Christ came and died on that cross to pay for every sin we've ever committed and will ever commit. That the debt has been paid to cleanse our hearts that we might come into your kingdom and be part of your family. That when we were your enemies, you still loved us. And Father, now we are here after praising you and thanking you to hear from you. And we pray that our hearts are prepared for you to speak to us and to let the transforming power of your Holy Spirit to draw us closer to you, to help us understand your will a little more clearly, and to help us to be able to know and serve you and to experience the life in your kingdom that Christ died for us to have. So we ask you to open our hearts and open our ears. And we ask you to speak to each one of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, we're going to do this a little bit different than normal. And there we go. Did you hit that or did I? Okay, good. I'm going to ask some friends of my wife, and they've become friends of mine, but she's known them all her life, to come on up here, and they're just going to share a little bit of their story, and that's going to kind of introduce and bring us into where we're going to be studying in James today. And so, first off, this is Kim. She grew up with my wife. They've known each other since they were 2 years old, and they've been very good friends for a long, long time. I will not say how long, but both of them actually in the same service were convicted and went down and made a commitment to serve Christ and gave their hearts to Christ when they were in first grade. And so that's been a long time, but really, Kim, during that time, you didn't really have anyone who taught you what Tim was talking about and didn't really disciple you well. And so as you grew up, just like most of us, you went the way of the world and really didn't have that personal, vibrant relationship with Christ. And when Robin's father died, she kind of went down there and you came to the funeral and the two of you got reconnected. And a couple weeks later, you sent her a text, and it simply said, "Pray for me, I'm in a really bad place." And you really didn't realize how bad a place you were in, because 6 months later, an event was going to happen in your life where it really was devastating and caused it to really fall apart. But through that text, God was preparing and building a foundation for you to be able to handle it. And you guys started studying the Bible together on the phone, I guess FaceTime, so maybe you could see each other. But you did that for a long time, very consistently. And how did that affect your life?
I had always...
Let me make sure it is. It's on. Okay, hold it up close, because we have a few people that have to, you know, okay, have a little mic.
I had always struggled with understanding the word. And I talked to Robin, and Robin said, "Let's pray that God will give you understanding." And at that time, I'd always heard that the Bible was the living word, but I didn't understand it. And at that time, everything that I would go through, I would open my Bible, and it was like the Lord was speaking to me through His Word. So it really changed, and I thank God for that.
And you started experiencing a close personal relationship with Christ. What did that do? What did that do inside of you with your emotions as you started to really see and feel God was speaking to you?
I just felt an overwhelming love. Felt like I was walking the right path, growing, knowing the Lord. He was opening my eyes. It was as if like the scales fell off my eyes. I could see clearly.
And Buck, you saw a big change in her as this was happening. You saw her changing. And you saw her really going in the right direction, the direction that you knew you should be going, but you were actually at this time going in the opposite direction. And you had been drifting away from Christ and drifting away from the things that you knew that as you had grown up in church was supposed to be in your life. And without really realizing how far or where you could ever get, you were slipping into a very dark place. And in the situation you were in, without accountability, you ended up slipping into sexual sin. And how were you feeling during this time? What were your feelings as you were drifting away? How did you feel?
It was guilt and shame. And you know, I was would talk with Kim at night, and I would see the growth that she was having, and about as low a point as a guy could really get to. Seeing my wife growing, the spiritual leader of her home that I was supposed to be, and I was mainly just a lot of guilt and shame, wanting to hide.
And you were kind of living at that time a double life. And I think last night as we were talking, Kim said she would come and try to share stuff with you, and you would be like, I don't want to hear that, because it just created this hopelessness and this guilt with you. And eventually, as a matter of fact, I think you told me that it created a lot of fear in you also, because you told me the other day that you felt like if you died, you were going to split hell wide open, was what you said. And so as you saw her developing this personal relationship with Christ, and you felt trapped and hopeless in where you were, when this finally was exposed, how did you feel then?
Almost a sense of relief that I wasn't hiding anymore. It was all out in the open. I was scared of what, you know, the chips were going to fall and the punishment for my sins, but at least I was free of the guilt of, you know, trying to hide it all.
Yeah, and many of us have been in that situation where we feel convicted by God, we feel trapped where we are, we're in so far we can't get out, we don't know how to serve God, and we feel like God would never, where we've come, God is never going to be able to forgive us. We're just going to have to suffer what happens. And Kim, when all this came out, I know it was a shock and it was a struggle for you, but because you had developed this relationship with God and were getting God's wisdom, somehow through the midst of all those emotions, you knew what God wanted you to do and what God wanted to happen. And so you gave Him what I guess some people would call an ultimatum. But really what it was an open door. And what you told Him is that that number one, He could not stay in that situation that allowed all of that temptation around, that He was going to have to quit His job, and that He was going to have to get His heart right with God if things could go forward. What gave you the ability in where you were to be able to offer forgiveness and have a hope of reconciliation?
God, that day, I said, do you want to stay? And it was not Kim talking, because Kim wanted to say, get out. but I could feel God talking through me. I've been through a divorce once. It's not an easy thing. It's a hard road. It might seem like the easy way out. It's not the easy way out. When we met, I always knew God put us together for a reason, and I never understood why. I never understood why. There were so many things I could sit here and tell stories that would blow your mind. How we met, what happened. But God, somehow in me, gave me the grace to say, if you will get this right, I can show you forgiveness, I can show you mercy, and we can try and work our marriage out.
Well, that was not the response you were expecting. And when you saw that that heart that was offering a possibility of reconciliation and redemption and forgiveness, how did that affect you?
It showed me some hope that I didn't ever dream would be offered. It blew me away more. I just was dumbfounded by the thought that I actually could maybe be forgiven for it.
And it allowed you to believe that maybe God would forgive you too. And so in that step that you took, I think you said the first time we talked that it gave you hope that you could take a step of faith towards God.
Yes.
And as you've taken that step of faith towards God, what's happened? What has God done since you took the step you thought was impossible? But as the grace and wisdom that he gave Kim let you see a flicker of the forgiveness of God, when you stepped towards him and reached out, what happened in your life?
Pride, greed, and anger were to completely destroyed. I've been, for the last year and a half, I've been the most content I've ever been in my life with my worldly possessions, with my family. My heart's, my desires completely changed from things of this world to what God wants for me to do, for teaching me, for catching me up for his service to where I should be at this point in my life instead of where I'm really at.
And so with that desire, what do you concentrate on doing now?
On studying guides, on the study of God's word more than anything. I get up an extra, I'll say 30 minutes early every morning. That's my time with God. At night, we have a set time before we go to bed every night that we have a family Bible study, just me and Kim. We've completely if I could talk.
He stutters.
Yeah,
sorry.
If you haven't figured that all out yet. But we're at church every chance we get. There's a CR program up there, the Celebrate Recovery. We went through two 12-step programs with it. We're on the leadership team, just trying to search out God's will and just follow the rules that he sets up, not the legalistic side of it, but following God's word, what he wants us to do and how he wants me to act at work, at home, at church, wherever I'm at.
And Kim, as this has all come through, which I know was very, very difficult, but I know that in the long run, as it's played out, it's been worth it. And what changes have you seen first in Buck and then in your marriage?
I've seen full surrender from my husband to the Lord. I've seen him be our spiritual leader, where before I always carried that load. I got the kids to church. I went to church. He's the spiritual leader now. Our children do not even know our story. But they know there's a difference, and our children are older now, but they have seen a difference in me, because there was changes I needed to make as well, but in their dad, they have seen a major difference, and they've said stuff, but they don't know what's went on our story, but they do know that something's changed. My marriage now is so much better. The Lord has just blessed me tremendously, mm-hmm. given me the marriage I always dreamed I could have.
Well, it's miraculous what God can do, and it's miraculous that God can redeem anything. And to think that you guys were, you know, you were chasing money, never had enough things, and to see that God has brought you through this, pulled you together, and that you now have a partnership in ministering and helping others find Christ is pretty amazing. And we're grateful for that. And thank you for sharing that. Let me just pray for you. Father, we just thank you. I thank you first for Buck and Kim being vulnerable, but I also thank you for the desire that they had to share their testimony with people. And it is amazing what you can do in lives. There is nothing that is impossible for you. And you change hearts. And as your Holy Spirit changes our hearts and we seek you, everything is different. All the old things have passed away, and the new life in Christ is wonderful. And I thank you that you've let them experience that, and I thank you for them sharing that with us today. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, thank you. Thanks, Buck. All right, well, we've got a couple verses today that we're going to look at that have to do with that. But as we've been studying through James, we kind of started a couple weeks ago where, you know, James is telling us, you got to be careful now when you're sharing or you're teaching people or you're giving counsel to people. And we saw that with responsibility comes accountability. So if I'm going to take influence in someone's life and I'm going to take a position of I'm going to give you advice, then God is going to hold me accountable as a Christian for what I give. And one of the parts of the story that Buck didn't tell because he knew I was going to tell it right now is that when all of this happened and that door cracked open, that if he would quit his job and if he would get his heart right with God, neither one of which he thought would be a possibility, but as he saw the forgiveness in Kim, he started to realize that God was putting that in her heart and God would forgive him. He had a chance to get his heart right with the Lord. He could confess. He could repent. He could seek God and God could restore him. But on a worldly level, in rural Missouri, quitting a good job that made a lot of money, every Christian friend he had told him, you can't quit your job. Every Christian friend he had told him, you can work it out, but you can't quit your job. What'll happen? You can't make it. You can't support your family here. He went back to work to an un-Christian boss who'd probably been through something similar or seen it in his family. And he told him his story, he told him his dilemma, and the man said, you got to just quit and go home. Take care of your wife. Because he knew the hurt it would take. It looks like it's the easy way out, like Kim said, but it's not the easy way out. It doesn't just end when you have divorce. It keeps going. God wants something more than that. And one of the things that's really important as we get here is to realize that if we don't know what God has to say, it is impossible for us not to give earthly, unspiritual, or as the Bible put it last week, demonic advice. You know, the devil was using, just like Job's friends, he was using his Christian friends to destroy his hope and his faith in Christ and to get him to not do what God was wanting him to do or halfway do it. And we saw last week, the wisdom that's from above is first of all pure. And that means it's full of an undivided heart. It is going to do what God says no matter what. Even if you look around and say, there's no jobs available that can make me this kind of money. I'm getting advice from everyone that I expect that tell me you can't quit. I got to find another way to save my marriage, but I can't quit my job. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. If this is what God is moving in my heart and moving in my wife's heart, and this is the road that God has opened up for me, I'm gonna walk through it. And we saw this verse last week too, Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright will guide them. And what that basically means is your pure heart guides you. If you have a divided, unloyal heart, I will follow God where he moves me to go if I think it will work out. But if my mind tells me, or the world tells me, or circumstances tell me that I'm not going to make it if I don't go another way, then I may go that way. And you're back and forth trying to weigh and wanting God to lead you, but you're afraid to go where he wants and you won't take that step. So you're praying for another alternative. The Bible says, let a double-minded man, he's not going to receive what from the Lord? Anything. He's going to let you move that route you want to go that's not his route until you find the emptiness that is there because he wants you to turn back. And I finished with this question. Do you think with your head or your heart, or do you think with God's head and God's heart? Because that is a very, very important core part of surrendering to Christ. He is now our Lord. He is not just our Savior, he's our Lord. And we saw 2 Timothy 2:7 says, reflect on what I'm saying. Kim spent 6 months chasing after that. God didn't just give her wisdom, he gave her his presence. The word of God started to become alive, so it wasn't just reading words about God, but she was conversing back and forth with God. She was listening to what God had to say to her for the plan God had for her life, and she was seeking to conform her life to God's will. And because she was doing that, the Lord gave her insight into all of the things that were happening. Even something that she didn't know was happening and certainly without God's wisdom could not have handled. And when that came, God gave her wisdom because God was in her heart. She hadn't pushed him out and replaced religion and activities and reading the Bible to check off the list. She was developing a personal relationship with God, and when she needed it, she was already speaking to God. He was already speaking to her, seeking his will, not trying to manipulate life. And the next thing that we saw as we entered into these last two chapters of James is that your words determine your life and your fruitfulness. God gives us wisdom. And if his spirit gives us wisdom and we are following the Lord, he controls our mouth. No human being can control the tongue. None of us are smart enough to figure out what we need to say at the right time, especially when our emotions get involved. But if our hearts are surrendered to God and his presence is real to us because of our time that we spend with him, the Holy Spirit can direct and control our words. And when Buck and her were talking, and Buck was struggling through this because, you know, he is responsible for providing for the family, and he does have to make enough money to be able to maintain everything that they've got. They can't lose everything, or at least maybe God wanted him to, but he was hoping not to lose everything. And she pointed to a picture on the wall that said one word, faith. And she just said, we're going to have to just trust God that he'll get you another job. And that was all that was said. And Buck decided he was going to do what God wanted, and he quit the job. And he got a little confirmation when he went in to quit it, and the boss said, yeah, that's the right thing to do. But what's interesting about it is he found a job that he didn't think was there that was actually a ton better because he's not traveling all the time. He's at home. It provides good money for him. It's a Christian company. All kinds of things that are on this thing that are just what he needs at this time to grow, to develop. He's got support. He's got encouragement. He went from a place where everyone is going the wrong way and pulling you there to a place where everyone's going the right way. And it's been a blessing in his life. Draw near to God. And later on, James will tell us he will do what? He will draw near to you. If you want God close to you, he's not the one who left. You're the one who left. You start seeking God, and you will find him when you seek for him with all your heart. Because worship literally means to bow down or to surrender to. And when Kim started seeking God with all her heart, knowing God produced faith in her. And that's where faith comes from. Faith is not something we muster up. It's not something that we have. It's a gift of God that we get when we see him. And the clearer we see him, the more faith that we have. Faith is a product of knowing who God is. I can trust God when I really understand who he is. And there's no way to really have life-changing faith in which you can follow God and see him work his will, because if every time it's tough, I go a different direction, I'm never gonna see God accomplish what he's trying to do. But if I have faith in God because I know God and I follow him, God does amazing things. And you look around this room and you know the stories of the things that he has done. And those testimonies come from people who start listening to what God is saying to them and let God speak to them through his word. If that doesn't happen, this is what happens. James 4:1 tells us this. What is the cause of quarrels and fights among you? And if we're following God, he gives us wisdom. And remember the wisdom of God that we talked about last week, the true wisdom is always Christ-like character that tells you how to respond. Seeking peace, knowing when to yield. When we stand up for what God has said in difficult situations, we know how to speak the truth in love. We still speak the truth, but we do it in a gentle and respectful way. We don't let the emotions of someone else overcome our emotions. And so, what causes quarrels and fights among you? Well, don't they come from your evil desires that war within you? You know, my responses that come to you that are unchristlike are not because of what you said or what you did. They're because of what I want that's in conflict with what God wants and what God wants me to do and how God wants me to respond. Some of your translations say, don't they come from your desires for pleasure? Because as human beings, that's what all of us want. You know what I want? I want the easy road. You know what I want? I want happiness. I don't want struggle. I want things to fall in place. And I get upset as a human being when somebody blocks my goals or something happens that keeps me from having the easy, wonderful, comfortable, good life where I am getting all of the respect and all of the treatment that I think I deserve. And when I don't get those things, if I have my agenda instead of God's agenda in mind, there's a quarrel that's fixing to break out. There's a fight and a struggle that's fixing to happen. As you try to manipulate me to get your will done, and I try to manipulate you to get my will done. And the only will that doesn't get done is God's will. He continues in verse 2 and he says, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. And here's how a person who's not listening to God reads that. I don't kill anybody. You know, I'm done. I don't even hit anybody. You know, yeah, I may raise my voice or I may give people the cold shoulder. I may not treat them like Christ wants, but I'm not that bad. Remember what Jesus says? If you're angry with a person, And so what we don't realize is that many of us, we may not physically kill somebody, but we're certainly willing to destroy their reputation. We're certainly willing to say something that can crush their heart. We're certainly willing to do something that will push down their hopes or their dreams when it's not in line with ours. We kill a lot of things. And we justify it because we're not really seeing that what we're trying to do is negate someone else because of what we want, rather than love them because of what God wants. We're not willing to suffer for their redemption like Christ suffered on the cross for our redemption, because we want our rights. We want to be treated with the respect that we think that we deserve. And so we struggle among each other. And he says, you're jealous of others, of what others have. And that's not just possessions. There are a lot of people who are jealous of the position other people have. They're jealous of the acceptance and the respect and the love and the popularity other people have. There's all kinds of things that we want. And that jealousy of what we want brings out all of these unspiritual, demonic, earthly things that we talked about last week. But you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. You know, it's amazing how many people struggle in relationships. They struggle at work. They struggle with friends. They struggle with spouses. They struggle all the time, and they don't realize this is what they're doing. They don't realize that the problem is I'm not surrendered to what God wants, and I know what I want and what I deserve, and I'm not getting it. And so I'm going to try somehow to get you to give it to me, or to get it out of the company or whatever. Yet, he says in verse 2 at the end, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. A lot of times when we are operating leaning on our own understanding, when something happens, the first thing we do is try to figure out what we need to do. The second thing is ask somebody else about what they think we ought to do. And if we're honest about it, the last thing that we do is take it to the Lord. And when we do, we're not taking it for the right reason. Because it goes on in chapter, or that should be verse 3. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. God is not our servant. God does not love us so much that he revolves around us. God's grace is not so great that he will allow someone who is his enemy, who walks around manipulating and destroying what he's trying to do and everyone else, into heaven and hope that it works out. God will separate those out who refuse to know his will and to do it. You know, that's why Paul tells us to pray that we will have wisdom and understanding and a complete knowledge of God's will. Why do we pray that? Because we want to do it. Because we know that that is what is good. And if you examine your prayers, you will see how spiritual you are. If you're praying for things that you think you need, especially if they're physical things, and that is the predominant thing that you pray, as a matter of fact, that's all you end up praying about. What you think needs to happen for you, what you need, what your son needs, what your daughter needs, what someone else needs, all these things that you need that are physical things, and that is what your prayers revolve around. Then you're praying in an earthly way, and you're praying with the wrong motives. You're praying for what you want that gives you pleasure, or those you love pleasure. And that is not what God is here to do. God is not your servant to help you accomplish your will in this world. Christ died so that we could see that we're not wise enough to know what we should be praying for, but God does, and we need his wisdom. And if we'll submit to his will, he will give us the desires of our heart. We need to delight in him and serving and loving him. And then God will give us the things that we need sometimes, which we would have prayed for him if we knew, But God knows what's best in our lives. And it's really interesting how the human nature leads us to pray for things that we will consume on ourselves. And God gives us things that give us the ability and equip us to be able to give the world, to give our families, to give those who are around us what God needs to be able to work in their lives. Now, does God give us physical things? Of course, if I starve to death, I can't help anybody. You know, if I lose my house and have to move someplace, well, I'm not going to minister in the same circles. God knows what I need. And if I'm looking to accomplish his world, you know what? I always get more than I need. But I don't get more than I need for God to put me in the situations and the places in which he wants to work in me or through me, because that's why he created me. And when I start praying for wisdom to know what is God doing, and I pray that God will show me how do I respond and what do I do in these circumstances, then what I find is God gives me that wisdom, and he also takes care of all the details. I think Jesus put it this way: seek first his, oh boy, I probably need some help now. I'm getting old, aren't I? Who doesn't know this verse? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this stuff will be what? Added unto you. As a matter of fact, it says before that, it says God already knows what you need. You don't need to ask God for the things you think you need. He sees you. He knows what you need. You know what you need? You need to know what God wants you to do. And you need the strength to be able to do it. You need to have his presence in your life so that you've got the faith to do what's scary. Because God's will and the miraculous doors that God wants to open and the miraculous things that God wants to do in your life to show himself real to people, they happen on the other end of scary things. And we pray not to have to go through that. And we're praying against God's will. When God leads us into circumstances, we need to be praying, God, what's the way that you're opening for me to walk through? Because God parts the water still. And God wants to answer our prayers. So I ask you this, what are you praying for? Think about how you pray and what you pray for. And that'll kind of be in line with how you see the answers to those prayers and how miraculously you see God working in your life. How should I pray? Well, at the bottom line of it, when you put things together, the core of everything we pray comes down to simply saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then simply doing it. That's what Christ died for us to be able to do. To have the freedom to not be so imprisoned by our desires and fears that we could simply walk with God without fear. And he never disappoints us when we do that. So we're going to take just a moment here. And really, this is the most important time of our service. And I ask you just to take just these couple of minutes and don't distract anyone, but I want this to be a time in which you respond in your heart. We come here and we take this time to stop the rush of life. We take this time to focus our eyes on how great God is and how much we owe him gratitude for what he wants to do in our lives and what he has done in our lives. And we open our hearts to listen to what he wants us to do in the next step. And everything God does in our lives depends upon our response. Christ died. He paid the sins for each one of us. And that offer is on the table. All we have to do is what the Bible calls repent. In other words, all we have to do is say, okay, I'm going to leave my kingdom and walk in your kingdom. I'm not going to be my own God anymore. I'm going to follow Christ. And so what I want you to do is just take a moment, and I want you to listen to these words with your eyes closed and meditate on him. And let God then stir your heart to pray about what he wants you to do.
It's time to make a change and turn my life around. Press on towards the blood-stained cross where purity is found.
Father, we bow our hearts before you right now, and we are aware of our great need for you. And there are times, and there may be someone right here who, as they look up, they really related to what was happening in Kim and Buck's life. They know what it's like to have a shell of knowledge and to have a lifetime of being comfortable in the religious aspect of church. But they just don't feel your presence. They feel empty and they don't have this relationship with you. And they experience the same thing that Kim did and the same thing that Robin did that led her to be able to help Kim. That they didn't have you speaking to them through your word. And maybe this is an opportunity to just come and pray as that they did, believing that you exist and that you love. You love them so much that Christ did come. And he came to this earth and he died on the cross to pay that their sins might be wiped away and they might be clean and have a relationship with God. And they felt in their hearts that you were calling them, that you saw them, that you loved them, that you were willing to forgive and open those arms. And it was demonstrated through Christ and they cried out and they prayed, God, help me to hear you. And that drive to know you became the first drive of their life. Father, I pray for those who are searching for that, that you would touch their hearts and make that real. That you'd give them the strength and the faith to follow you. And I thank you, Lord, for those who are in this room that have experienced that and their hearts are just so humbled by the fact that we know that we constantly are discovering areas of our lives that are, they're just not up to the standard of what Christ would want for our relationship with you. There's so many things that get in the way of us growing in our relationship with you that distract us and that pull us away. And Father, we don't want to be fading away. We want to be growing towards you. We want the joy and the excitement and the love and the peace and the strength that your Holy Spirit gives us and the faith. We want to be experiencing you in our lives every day. And so we cry out for that. And we surrender our lives to you. Speak to us, and we will follow. And when we're weak, we ask you to strengthen us so we can follow, because we are your children, bought and paid for through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, and we surrender ourselves to you. In Christ's name we pray, amen.